Ken Clark und Sleeper in Metropolis, Flux FM, 16 Uhr und gleich 13 Minuten. Ab dem 25.01., liebe New Waverinnen und Kennerinnen der Musikgeschichte, läuft in den Lichtspielhäusern dieser Stadt ein Film an, in dessen Zentrum die eben gehörte englische Poetin und Musikerin steht. Fast 10 Jahre lang hat der Filmemacher Klaus Wittopf mit der auch von uns sehr verehrten Künstlerin Gespräche geführt über die Kunst, die Liebe, das Leben, die Familie, Sex and Drugs and Rock'n'Roll. Und das Ergebnis dieser Gespräche liegt nun unter dem Titel I'll Walk Out Into Tomorrow in Filmform vor. Ein sehr persönlicher Film, der sehr nah an Ann Clark herankommt. Wie diese Intimität entstehen konnte und inwiefern auch die Künstlerin von der Beschäftigung mit ihrer eigenen Vergangenheit profitieren kann, das und vieles mehr werden wir klären mit Zweien, die es wissen müssen. Ich begrüße recht herzlich Ann Clark und Klaus Wittopf. Hello!
Hello, Berlin! Hello!
Hello! Hello.
And hello, Norfolk. I had to say that. I'm sorry.
Oh, is a person listening in from Norfolk?
I think one or two might be. I hope so.
Nice.
Yes, you welcome. Have the public everywhere.
Welcome to Flux FM, Ann Clark and two listeners from Norfolk. We welcome you as well. Und Klaus natürlich auch. Herzlich willkommen. Vielen How Dank. Are you doing today? Everything all right?
Wonderful. We had a great day so far.
Cool.
Very busy, but great.
Nice. People are interested in the movie. That's a good sign.
It seems like it, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
For Klaus too.
Yes. And you guys must be really proud. Congratulations on that film, I'll Walk Out Into Tomorrow. The film has been made over a period of almost 10 years. How and when did you realize that you could really trust Klaus? And when?
I don't know if I can. Can I? Still, I don't know if I can. Oh, he's a very charming guy, a very smart guy, this one. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Be careful with him, huh?
But it took him a few years to kind of like get really close to you. Or what was the reason for you, Klaus? Du kannst auch gerne in Deutsch antworten. Was war für dich vielleicht der Grund, so lange am Thema dran zu bleiben? Wann hast du gemerkt, vielleicht muss ich noch ein Jahr weiterdrehen und noch ein Jahr Gespräche führen mit Anne, damit ich auf so einen Punkt komme?
Im Prinzip war der Film ja schon auch ein bisschen auf eine längere Zeit angelegt, weil mir klar war, ich möchte den Film über Ann Clark machen, der schon künstlerisch und besonders sein sollte. Und das ist natürlich auch schwierig zu finanzieren, so dass ich wusste, das wird über längeren Zeitraum gehen. Und ja, dann hat Ann immer wieder neue spannende Projekte angestoßen, hat immer wieder mit neuen Musikern gearbeitet. Das ist natürlich auch sehr spannend war, das immer zu begleiten. Und ich denke, nach langer Zeit sind wir dann auch, ist diese Freundschaft entstanden, dass wir da auch wirklich sehr ein Vertrauen entwickelt haben und dann auch so diese privaten Gespräche führen.
Yeah, there's some conversations in the film where you realize that you have spent a lot of time together. It's not like, yeah, I've just met this guy who's doing a film and he wants to interview me. I've just met him recently and I'm going to tell him everything about me. One realizes that you have spent some time together and
Absolutely.
That he kind of like found out how to make you trust him. I think, right?
Yeah, that's quite an achievement because I'm not the most extrovert person or the most outgoing person. I'm a pretty shy and quiet person, really. So I think he had to use quite a bit of elbow grease, as we say, and he really had to push it a bit.
Yeah. In the very beginning of the film, and that's interesting, I think, you talk about being kind of like robbed by tour managers who took all the money and vanished on the very first tour. And you were surrounded by very evil people in major record companies.
I mean, music business is an awful business.
Yes.
You know? Terrible.
And you've got to learn that, or you had to learn that in the very beginning of your career.
But I'm still learning it. You know, I'm still so naive. Somebody only has to be nice to me and I just believe everything they say. So I really have to hit myself on the head a lot more and be a lot more careful. But
No,
I am. I've learned some lessons.
Yeah, and I really think that that phase, which was an ugly phase, shaped your career in a positive way in the long run, because I kind of think it's kind of like good for a musician or an artist to not trust those companies. And I think it was really good for you as an artist to kind of like realize that those people, you know, they don't have anything to do with art, and you kind of have to separate yourself from that business side to go for the real thing. And there would have been totally different Ann Clark, I think, if the first tour would have gone well and the people in the business would have treated you well in those first years.
Well, I mean, the tour was amazing and was a great success, and that's why they managed to disappear with everything. But no, it was very destructive and very awful. I mean, it nearly killed me, you know. I mean, the whole fight, it was like a war. It went on for years. And they said, we'll destroy you. We'll completely destroy you and make sure you never, ever work again. And for 4 years or so, they did. They did do that. And that's terrible. But bit by bit, you know, I learned to even listen to I didn't listen to music. I couldn't even hear music of any kind. It was just so poisoned. But little by little, it started to grow up again. And I met really great people up in Norway that I could really trust and work with and just do it for fun, you know. And then I was lucky enough to have a guy from Scorpio Concerts in Hamburg, guy called Volkert Koopmans, who eventually got in touch with me and said, I want to do a tour with you.
That's when you still were in Norway?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was just, wow. You know,
in the film, you tell us about the fact that the whole new wave philosophy was kind of like helpful for you because before that, poetry was only made for the higher classes or made by the higher classes.
Yeah, or it was incredibly boring.
And then those new wave guys kind of like motivated you to do your own stuff and not to listen to the other guys. So that was an important part of your career. But Norway was another important part, like to reflect and to... I mean, I imagine you wandering through the snow there and maybe thinking of about poetry, but not about
really,
music.
Not really, just really connecting with the nature there, you know? I mean, that really was a place where I learned, because of the extremes of the climate there, however luxurious the people live or however wealthy the people, they have to really live with the seasons there, the light in the summer, the dark in the winter, and the cold and the snow and so much water around, and I really learned to see nature as far more important than anything else, you know.
And do you still sometimes go back to Norway to kind of?
I haven't been there for a while. There's so many places in the world to travel and visit. I haven't been back for a while, but I'm in touch with friends from there still.
Because I can really think that places like this have a special place in your soul because they kind of saved you.
Absolutely, it lives inside me, you know. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, from the work I've done in the last nearly 40 years now, you know, there's people and places all around the world that hold a very special place in my heart.
And how was looking back at your entire career during the conversations with Klaus? Because I think it must have triggered something inside of you, or you must have been inspired again maybe by looking back at your own stuff? Or was it kind of like a hard thing to do?
Yeah, I find it very difficult to watch. I mean, I've watched the film once with Klaus in the cinema and I really wanted to disappear under the seat, you know, and it's like being naked on the screen there and then with a microscope or something, you know. So it's a little bit difficult for me. So now I just sit in the bar. They watch the film and I sit in the bar and then I, you know, whatever.
But I mean, I can tell you that from an outside perspective, this film really makes everyone who watches that film love you even more because
I don't know about that.
No. The intimacy and the closeness and the things that you talk about yourself and then tell about your own family and stuff. I was like, oh man, I loved M. Clark before, but now I love her even more. So that's what you'll get as a reaction out of this.
I don't know about that.
Don't be so strict with yourself and don't be fearful about the reactions to that film because I think it's really interesting that it's so close and that you're talking about so many things that happened to you. So, Klaus, I have a question for you as well. There's lyrics and poetry. Like, du hast die lyrische, sorry, I'm going to switch to German. Du hast die Poesie und die Lyrik von Anne Clark ja auch im Bild quasi stattfinden lassen und hast manche Lieder quasi so, wie so ein Lyric-Video quasi, wenn man ein blödes Beispiel verwenden will, aufgearbeitet. Warum war dir das so wichtig? Weil bei mir hat's total die Wirkung gehabt. Ich habe plötzlich die 100% Verständnisrate gehabt bei Anne Clark-Stücken, wo ich vorher vielleicht so 90% verstanden hatte. Wolltest du das erreichen, dass man nochmal genau auch analytisch diese große Kunst betrachten kann? Oder warum hast du das so umgesetzt?
Ja, tatsächlich war das ein Beweggrund, dass ich von Anfang an eben die Kunst von Anne Clark in den Vordergrund stellen wollte und gerade die Lyrik, die Poesie, die Worte, weil die Musik ist ja eigentlich viel zugänglicher, die hat man sofort parat, sage ich, aber die Texte, da braucht man doch einen Moment, sich da rein zu vertiefen und das wollte ich dem Publikum im Kino auf jeden Fall näher bringen. Von daher war von Anfang an die Idee, die Texte wirklich zu visualisieren und in der Animation auch darzustellen.
Ja, und da kommt dann auch plötzlich heraus, wie komplex und vielschichtig die Kunst von Anne Clark ist. Und das war ja dann wiederum vielleicht auch ein Grund dafür, dass es so lange gedauert hat. Wir haben ja vorhin schon am Anfang verraten, dass du über 10 Jahre eigentlich an diesem Film schon gearbeitet hast. Das lag daran, dass du der Komplexität ihrer Kunst quasi gerecht werden wolltest oder auch daran, dass sie mit neuen Projekten jedes Jahr um die Ecke kam?
Also beides. Aha. Auf jeden Fall hatte ich es angelegt, dass es ein längeres Projekt werden sollte, damit man eben nicht auf die Schnelle was abarbeitet, was einfach mehr Zeit braucht. Und wir auch eine Beobachtung hatten mit ihren neuen Projekten.
Ja.
Aber natürlich war auch ein Teil davon produktionsbedingt, dass eine Finanzierung natürlich erst gefunden werden musste, so ein Projekt auch umzusetzen, was ich von Anfang an fürs Kino auch geplant hatte.
Ja.
Und ja, und das kam aber im Prinzip positiv dem Film zugute, dass wir dann eben so viel auch in den Film packen konnten.
Ja. You have brought a little song with you, and we're able to play it, and it's a world premiere.
It is.
You've worked with the guy from Jena, I think.
From Jena, yes, Thomas Rückholz, yes.
And then he's met you, I've heard that he just came by at a show of yours and like giving you a CD or something?
The very first time was I saw a CD come flying through the air and land on the stage next to me. He must have really known something though, because it was wrapped in brown paper with string. And that is, as the film says, one of my favorite things. Parcels wrapped in brown paper and string. So that was a sign. And yes, I discovered his music and have been in touch with him for a while. And because I've kind of stepped back a little bit from doing things, I want to do a project now of my favorite poems of other people's.
Oh, wow.
So there's great poets out there that people will never read or never hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get all the permission for everything and do everything I want to do with it, I would like to do this album like a homage, you know, a kind of to other writers. So this is one of the tracks.
You've done that with Rainer Maria Rilke.
Yes, yeah. And Friedrich Rückert as well, and Baudelaire, and Emily Bronte, and a few others.
Yeah. All right. Le Fleur du Mal.
Yeah.
Ah oui.
Bidranke.
There Will Come Soft Rains.
Yes.
Is a poet by?
It's a poem by a woman called Sarah Teasdale, who was alive at the beginning of the 20th century. But if you can grab the text, or I can make the text available, you'll hear just how totally relevant it is today and how beautiful the text is.
Yeah. We'll listen to that now. That's
wonderful.
And that's the beauty of this very show.
Wonderful.
Because there's going to be a world premiere, people.
Wow.
Öffnen Sie Ihre Ohren und Augen und Herzen und Seelen, meine Damen und Herren. Denn wir hören hier Anne Clark mit einem bisher noch nicht veröffentlichten Stückchen, das sie aufgenommen hat, mit Thomas Rückholt aus Jena. Der hat mal eine CD auf der Bühne geschmissen und es hat funktioniert. Er wird nicht der Einzige gewesen sein in der Historie der Anne Clark Musik, der das versucht hat, aber ihm hat's geklappt. Weltpremiere auf Flux FM. Anne Clark und Thomas Rückholt mit There Will Come Soft Rains. Im Anschluss an das Stück quatschen wir noch ein bisschen weiter über den tollen Film I'll Walk Out Into Tomorrow.
Exklusiv auf Flux FM.
Anne Clark und Thomas Rückholt mit There Will Come Soft Rains. Ein Gedicht einer anderen Künstlerin, das Anne Clark hier nochmal vertont hat. Und das ist auch ihr Plan für die nähere Zukunft unter Umständen, sich mit den Werken anderer Künstler und Künstlerinnen zu beschäftigen. So, do you already have a list of poems that you wanna work on with?
Yes, we've done a few. We've got 4 or 5 already roughly recorded. And yeah, I just have to see where to go with it. You know, the whole music scene has changed so much.
That's true.
My dream would be able to have Thomas with an orchestra and a film backdrop, you know, a really big thing with it. But yeah, what I dream and what a reality are often very different.
Yeah, that's true. But it still can happen. I mean,
would be great. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I think the material is worth it. Let's just see
if
people are ready to work on that with you. You've just talked about the fact that the music industry changed and the music business changed a lot. And when I was watching the film, I was like, yeah, man, but Anne Clark back then, I can really feel that, to just like say fuck you all and leave and go to Norway, you know, and leave the music business alone. And that's, and then I thought that's something an artist nowadays wouldn't even dare to do, because they all seem to be like accountants and managers nowadays as well, self-optimizing their Facebook profile, You know what I'm saying?
Well,
is that something that you observe
that.
As well?
I don't know about that, because I think now the technology allows you. I mean, I'm in touch with a guy in the middle of Siberia. Mm-hmm. He's somewhere out there, I don't know how many thousand kilometers away, in a snowdrift, and I can just go on Skype with him or send files to him, and we can work together in this crazy way. You know, it's absolutely incredible. I think it's amazing. So, yes, of course, you got the really social media savvy, addicted people who just need likes and likes and likes and, you know, the Donald Trump school of music or whatever, where you've got to be tweeting all the time or you could just use it to contact someone in Siberia and send a couple of music files to, you know, or something. So it's how you want to use it.
That's true, but sometimes I have the feeling that there's not as much space for rebellion in the music business as there was in the 70s,
80s. I don't think there's enough room for rebellion anywhere at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of like. That's what I felt was observing, you know what I'm saying? And that's what
it's totally acceptable now to just be horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what we need to rebel against. And I don't know, the political situation at the moment is bringing out the really worst in people, I think. And it's become acceptable. And that's what we need to rebel against a little bit, I think.
And that's what art should be probably there for nowadays. I've spoken to this really famous hip-hop crew from the United States called the Dead Presidents or Dead Press.
Okay.
And they consider themselves artivists. They're not artists and they're not activists. They're artivists. They combine those two things and they say that you can't go without it nowadays. Mm-hmm. We couldn't go without it back in the days, but nowadays especially, we have to tell people about our opinions. We have to kind of like protect minorities maybe with our art or share the fact that love is a universal thing. It doesn't matter if it's between a man and a woman and a woman, or, you know, if it's just a heterosexual thing happening.
Yeah.
So would you consider yourself like an artivist, or is that something that still drives you to when you look around in the world?
You know, I have to say that I really have stepped back a little bit, because I am so appalled by the world, by the things we do to each other. You know, I mean, even on a small scale, and I'm as equally to blame as that. You know, I've not been a kind person all my life, but the wickedness between that people inflict on each other and other creatures, and I just cannot deal with it. I find it very difficult to deal with. You know, just even watching the news, it's just so mainstream now, just so acceptable to put on the news and see kids blown to pieces in Syria or dogs being skinned alive on here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is... And wow. Wow. What have we become? What have we become, you know? I just need to...
It's like people have become numb a little more, right?
Yes, absolutely. And there's so much to blame for that.
And then the question is, if art can get that numbness away again, is it strong enough to?
Well, that's it. I mean, I think there's too much. There's too much of everything. There's too many video games. There's too much music. There's too many films. There's too many opinions. There's too many. It's time to be quiet.
It's time
to sit back and look and really listen and not keep spewing our opinions over each other without listening, really looking at the damage that we're doing.
So this may be a reason for you to look back at other artists and poems from other poets?
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's it, you know. I mean, they've been artists have been saying the same thing in different ways for hundreds of years. And unfortunately, they still haven't made the world a better place. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's a difficult thing, right? Because you wouldn't want to stop making art just because of the fact just because of the feeling that you can't change anything, but it's hard to keep on going, I guess.
Yeah, and it's hard to have belief in people, you know, in us, in us, really.
But I really think that, I mean, I'm already looking forward to that record that you're doing with Thomas Rückholt, and I really think that it's going to inspire you again, because, I mean, looking at all these old school poems, You get inspired by that. There's one or two things that they have done, and you'll be looking at them and like, oh, that's a nice trick.
Oh, that's true. Damn, he's right.
So I want to wish you the best of luck for all your future the things that you're planning. What are the next steps? Are you going to record more with Thomas?
Well, with Thomas, and we'll just see. We'll just see what happens, you know, now.
Cool.
I don't really have any big plans, but we'll just see how things develop.
I mean, when I was listening or when I was reading about that story with Thomas, I was asking myself, how many people have asked you to kind of like refine their instrumentals?
Every day, right? Something comes in. Yeah. But you know, I really am quite, I have quite a, what's the word? A sieve. I don't know, where you really shake the flour through, you know, and get rid of all the lumps and bumps and yeah. There's so much stuff out there.
Die Spreu vom Weizen trennen. That's how you say it in German. Yeah. That's what you have to do. Yeah. No, not good enough, not good enough. Maybe I'll do something with Thomas Lecolt. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You have to protect yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
As an artist.
Absolutely.
So, Klaus, was machst du als nächstes? Du bist ja jetzt wahrscheinlich in so ein tiefes Loch gefallen, oder nicht?
Nee, jetzt kommt ja das Großartige, dass der Film eben ins Kino kommt. Mhm. Und gerade hier in Berlin am 24. Januar ist die Kinopremiere. Da wird Anne Clark und ich auch anwesend sein. Also am 24.01. in die Kulturbrauerei kommen.
Cool.
Und wir sind beide dann auf Kinopremiere durch Deutschland unterwegs.
Oh, nice.
Und ab 25. startet er eben bundesweit. Von daher wird das jetzt so richtig aufregend.
There's another thing that I was really astounded about when I was watching the film, is that when you said, you know, I like being around Germans. The Germans are really nice people. I was like, what?
It's the first time. Believe me, it's the truth. Believe it. It's time you believe it.
Yeah, and I was really like, I do not understand that, but then when you said that you do not like hanging around English people, I was like, okay, that's the thing, because I would probably prefer to hang around some English lads. Oh no, maybe not. Well, depends on the lads.
That's it. That's
if they're
it.
Like Mike Skinner and his crew, then I'll probably enjoy it, I think. So I want to thank you a lot for visiting us.
Thank you for the invitation.
A great pleasure. You're going to enter Studio 2 now and record an Ohrspiel. Leute da draußen, ihr könnt euch auch schon mal freuen auf eine Show mit Anne Clark am Mikrofon, in der sie ihre Lieblingsstücke nochmal präsentiert. Die werden wir dann ausstrahlen, ungefähr zur Veröffentlichung des Filmes am 24. 25. Klaus, Anne, it was a real great pleasure and an honor to have you here.
And for us.
I hope we'll meet again as soon as you do live stuff with Thomas or as soon as you come back to Berlin. You know where we live right now.
Yeah, I'm coming down to your club in the summer.
Yeah, you come down to our club, you come and visit us, you're always invited. If there's another artist in here, just push him out.
Straight through the window. Yeah. Okay.
So, thank you for visiting. Hier nochmal einer der Klassiker von Anne Clark. Wir hören Wall-E's Auf Flux FM. Thank you guys. Bye bye.
Tschüss.
Dankeschön. Tschüss.